Hi, welcome to another inspirational message by Pastor Alex Pappas, Senior Pastor at Oceans Unite Christian Center.
We have been working on the elementary principles of Christ that comes out of Hebrews 6. And, you know, we've been laying this foundation over the last few weeks. It is so important that we understand these principles, and a lot of people will be like, well, we know that, and yes, we do, some of us know that. This has challenged me. I'm going to be honest. There's stuff in here that I've seen that's like, wow, you know, I didn't really fully grasp it. Or, you know, God, I knew there was more you wanted to show me. But besides that, also, this is foundations. Let me read to you what it says. Hebrews 6, 1 to 2. It says, therefore, leaving the discussion of elementary principles of Christ, let us go on to perfection, not laying again the foundation of repentance. There's the first one. From dead works and of faith towards God. Second one. Of the doctrine of baptisms. Third. Of the laying on of hands. Fourth. Of the resurrection of the dead. Fifth. An eternal judgment, which is the sixth foundation. And if you study it, you'll find that he's really trying to say to them, by now you ought to be teachers yourself. By now you've been in church for 20 years. You should be teaching. You still don't know this stuff. And he's saying, I want you to go on beyond this. But he says, if you study it, he says, if God permits it, if he permits it. In other words, you will never really make great progress if you don't understand or have not done these foundational basic things in order for us to move forward in our walk with God. I'm just going to make a bold statement and say, let's just take one of them. For example, the laying on of hands. How often do we lay hands in church today? It's very quiet. And the reason why is because it doesn't happen so much, but it's a basic foundational doctrine. And if you study New Testament, they were laying hands all the time. Why? And you'll have to come back next week for that. Amen. Today we're going to get into the doctrine of baptisms. We spoke about repentance. The truth is that your entire walk with God starts at repentance. It starts by making a decision to change. Repentance is not remorsefulness. It's a clear decision. Yes, repentance can be emotional, but that's not what it is. What it is it's turning away and going in the opposite direction. That's true repentance. Now, if you look at it, you'll see there's really three phrases or categories that I like to put them in. The first is being repentance and faith. Repentance and faith. The second, baptism and laying on of hands. The third, resurrection of the dead and eternal life. Now, the reason why I'm telling you that now is because I want you to see that repentance and faith and dead works are all part of the same principle. Yes, it starts at repentance, but then it's also repentance from dead works. Turn away from dead works, because the only thing that's going to get you to God is faith. It's because of Jesus that we are saved. Nothing else. Can you say amen? So because of Jesus, we are saved, we are washed in the blood of the Lamb, and we are born again. We are now serving Him. Amen. But there are some things that we need to look at. There are some foundational doctrines that we need to look at. We looked at repentance. We looked at dead works. We looked at faith towards God. Now, what I want to look at today is baptisms. Laying on of hands kind of goes hand in hand of it, and the reason why is because it's a part of baptism. And you'll see that if you study Scripture. We'll discuss that in depth next week, but tonight I'll also be going into that heavily. What I want you to take note of is that it's baptisms plural. Baptisms plural. It doesn't matter what Greek scholar you are, you cannot change that because that's how it is written. Which means that there is more than one type of baptism. Now, what you need to understand is we're going to look at it from a New Testament perspective, because this is Hebrews. It's a New Testament book. Some people believe it was written by Paul. Most scholars would tend to think that, but we don't know for sure who wrote the book of Hebrews. So we know that it's a foundational principle, baptisms, and we're talking about New Testament stuff because we don't really want to look at the former things. What is God saying to us now? What do we need to do now? What are the principles that apply to us now? Now, in the Old Testament, what you might want to know is that there was ritualistic washings. You know, there were certain things that they did in the Old Testament where there was types of baptisms. For example, the Hebrew people would have almost like baptismal baths in their homes, in some of the homes, and they would go down and they would do basically a type of baptism, a type of immersion. So this was not necessarily a totally new concept. But we're going to start by taking a look at what came first in the New Testament. Now, in order for us to truly grasp what baptism is, let's start by what does the word actually mean? The word baptism in the Greek is the Greek word baptizo, and it basically means dipping in water, washing, or immersion. The true root word there is to be immersed. It's to be immersed. Now, what I want to show you is this. Immersion can come in two ways. There's the baptismal pool for baptism today. Immersion can come when you go totally under the water. That's being immersed, correct? And you come out. So that's kind of like, you know, in a way, sprinkling and stuff doesn't quite do it because you're not immersed. You're just sprinkled, okay? We'll get more into that a little later on. But immersion can also be more than just going under, because how many of you have taken a shower and be fully immersed in water? Amen. So that means that it can also immerse you from on top, right? The point is that the word baptism means to be fully immersed, or immersion, or dipping. All right, let's take a look at John's baptism, because that's the first baptism we see in the New Testament. Now, guys, I know this is foundational, so some of you might think, well, this is like really basic stuff, Pastor Alex, and, you know, I also want to talk about raising the dead and stuff like that, but we need to do that. Is that okay? Okay. And three lessons on how to raise the dead. Amen. Okay. Three principles. If you do all three, you'll be fine. You got it. All right. Okay. Try it. See how it works out for you. Okay. All right. It's faith. Hallelujah. Okay. Let's stop. Let's move on. John's baptism. What I want to start by saying is this, is what we need to remember is what was taking place at the time. For around 400 years, God was silent. There was nothing. It had gone silent. The people were very, very frustrated, and they wanted to hear from God. And there was a promise of a Messiah that was coming, but nothing was happening. And we go to Mark 1, verse number 2, and we'll see what basically played out. Mark 1, verse number 2. As it is written in the prophets, "Behold, I send my messenger before your face, who will prepare the way before you. The voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make his path straight." John came baptizing in the wilderness and preaching a baptism of repentance for the remission of sins. And all the land of Judea and those from Jerusalem went out to him and were all baptized by him in the Jordan River, confessing their sins. Now, this is very powerful. But what I want to show you is three things that are important for us to understand about John's baptism. The first thing is, go to verse number 3. You'll see there it says, "There was a voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make his path straight." So John's purpose was to come and prepare the way for Jesus. He came to prepare the way. What was his message, though? His message was a baptism of repentance. His message was a baptism of repentance. And we can see from Scripture that the people responded to this baptism. In fact, the religious leaders, who didn't necessarily like what they were doing, what he was doing, couldn't do anything about it because of the response of the people and their desperation for God to do something. So we look at verse number 5. It says, "Then all the land of Judea and those from Jerusalem went out to him." So we see all of the land of Judea and those from Jerusalem. So there were many people that came to be baptized by John as a confession of their sins. Now, why was this taking place? Because he was preparing the way for Jesus. And what was the key for that preparation, or for that coming of the Messiah? Repentance. Repentance. Now, I taught on repentance 3 weeks ago, so I don't want to hammer this away. But repentance is so important. It was foundational in the New Testament right at the beginning, before Jesus came. May I dare to challenge you? Will it not start with his second coming? Not a baptism of repentance, but repentance. Remember, if you look at the foundational doctrines, the first thing that we have to do is repent. Faith towards God, and then baptisms. Baptisms, more than one. But we see that the message that was preached is the same message that I believe will usher in the greatest move of God right at the end, where Jesus will come again. Is there not even one person that's going to be excited about that? Okay. Maybe this will... Okay. How many of you have studied revivals? All right. Good. Many of you. Do you know that there's not one revival that did not start with repentance? What does that mean? That means that before a move of God, before He comes, repentance is the key. How is it that we are taught we don't need to repent? And it starts in the house of the Lord. Because whether you like it or not, we are not perfect. Amen. All right. So John's baptism was to prepare the way of the Lord, and it was a message of repentance. Matthew 3, verse number 3 says, "For this is he who was spoken of by the prophet Isaiah, saying, 'The voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make his path straight.'" Now, what we need to understand is that this was necessary for the children of Israel back in that time because they had to repent and come to Christ. But you and I as believers, we do not experience John's baptism. We have a different baptism, which is the baptism into Christ, or you could basically call it Christian baptism or water baptism. So the next baptism I want to show you is what I'm going to show you now, water baptism. And the first person that experienced this type of baptism is Jesus. And let me show you why I say that. Jesus got baptized by John, and it seems like baptism of repentance, but let me ask you a question. Did he have anything to repent of? So why did he get baptized? I'm glad you're asking so many questions. Let me show you. Matthew 3, verse 13. Matthew 3, verse 13. The time just goes by like this. It's terrible. I haven't even started. All right. "Then Jesus came from Galilee to John at the Jordan to be baptized by him. And John tried to prevent him, saying, 'I need to be baptized by you, and you are coming to me.' But Jesus answered and said to him," watch now, because here's the reason why Jesus gets baptized, "Permit it to be so now, for thus it is fitting for us to fulfill all righteousness." So Jesus was fulfilling righteousness by being the first of who would be baptized into him. It couldn't have been repentance. He had nothing to repent of. So he says, "Permit it to be so now," because John recognized, you are holy. You don't need to be baptized for this. This is a baptism of repentance. You're the one we're waiting for. Okay, and most of us know that he didn't really recognize Jesus at that point yet, more than likely, so it seems. So he says, "Permit it to be so now, for thus is it is fitting to fulfill all righteousness." Then he allowed him. And behold, the heavens were opened to him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and alighting upon him. And suddenly a voice came from heaven saying, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." No repentance for Jesus, it was to fulfill righteousness. Now, let me ask you a question. When you get saved and you repent, are you righteous? Yes. Yes, you are. You are washed in the blood of Jesus. You have given your life to him. Romans 5 verse 1 says this, "Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ." So the fact of the matter is when you give your life to Jesus, you are made justified. But that doesn't mean that you mustn't get water baptized. Because what water baptism is it's almost like the seal. It's almost like the symbolism of what's about to take place. You have now stepped out of your life and you've accepted him as your Savior and as your Lord. Don't forget that now. Don't forget that now. In other words, Lord, not my life, but your life. Not my will, but your will be done. Now watch. Let me show you what this means. Romans 6, verse number 3. Romans 6, verse number 3. "Or do you not know that as many of us as were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death?" Look at me quickly, everybody. Baptized into his death. How? Under the water. Okay? Baptized into his death. "Therefore, we were buried with him through baptism into death." The old man dies under the water. "That just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in the newness of life. For if we have been united together in likeness of his death, certainly we also shall be in likeness of his resurrection." It represents when you come out of the water, you are now alive. Okay. under the water, you die to the old man, you come out, and you are now in Christ. You are a new creation. This is the symbolism, but there's more. Let's go to Colossians 2, verse number 11. Colossians 2, verse number 11. In him you were also circumcised with the circumcision made without hands by putting off the body of the sins of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ, buried with him in baptism, in which you were also raised with him through faith in the working of God who raised him from the dead. Can you say amen? Isn't that awesome? Just as he was raised from the dead, so we are also raised. Because you must understand, when you get into that pool, the old man goes down and he dies. You come out and you're new. All things are new. It's a new beginning. It's a new start. Now that's a symbol. Let me ask you a question. Let's think about this now. He who is baptized and believes is saved, right? Does that mean that if you give your life to Jesus and you die without getting baptized, are you going to heaven? Well, I can think of one really good story to show that I believe yes. Besides the fact that there's many scriptures that support that. Jesus is on the cross. Next to Jesus on the cross is one of the robbers. And he speaks to the Messiah, and the Messiah says to him, "You will be with me in paradise." In other words, you have recognized who I am. You will be with me in paradise. You believe you will be with me. Amen. Does that mean that you have an excuse to not get baptized? No. Why? Because you have stuff that needs to be buried under that baptismal water. You need to fulfill your destiny and your purpose. You need to walk in the fullness of who God has called you to be. Every single thing, every bit of it. And we are people that have stuff. When you begin to grasp the fullness of what baptism means, that's when baptism will actually have an effect. But you can baptize someone, lay hands on them, do whatever, you dance around them, and nothing can change as well. Because what's really important is what takes place in the heart. Remember, the decision begins when you make a choice, and it starts with repentance. Amen. It starts with repentance. This baptism, water baptism, is to basically be to die and to be raised in Christ. It's very powerful. Can you say amen? I'll show you. Wait, okay. Let me give you one more scripture quick before we move on. This is important. Galatians 3:27. For as many of you as were baptized into Christ have put on Christ. Now, let me ask you a question. And this is not an attack on any denomination or any church group or anything like that. Please. But we need to be educated by the word, right? Into what are we baptized? A little bit louder. We are baptized into Christ, not a denomination, not an organization. Into Christ. Okay. Once you have been baptized, you don't need to be baptized again, okay? Once you've been baptized, you've made a decision, you don't need to do it again. If you really feel like you've, you know, you were so bad and you fell away and you need to do it, that's okay. I don't think there's anything wrong with that. Because remember, it's all about the heart, okay? But let me ask you a question. And this again is in no way an attack. Does it make sense to baptize a small child that does not know what repentance means? No, it makes no sense. It makes no sense to baptize an infant, even though they may mean well because they're just trying to fulfill foundational doctrines. They're missing the point, because you go back to the beginning. What does it say? Repent. How can a small child repent of what they don't understand? But when they come of age, I said to the first crowd, I said that, you know, it would be like going to my son Joshua, who's 2 years old, and saying, "You need to repent now so that you can be baptized." He's going to look at me like I'm funny, you know, although he is pretty naughty because he's just always mommy, 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 you know. When he gets older, you know, he'll understand that he was so wrong, that it should all be about dad, you know, and he'll confess his sins and be baptized. But right now, he doesn't understand that, and that's why there's grace for him. Amen. It doesn't make sense to baptize a small child. Now, my daughter was 5 years old when she made a decision. to be baptized. That's very young, but it was her choice. And I mean, I kept on saying, are you sure? Are you sure you're ready? You know, you're really young. And no, I want to be baptized. Because she understood what it meant. So that she got baptized at a young age. But the majority of people generally get baptized much later. Does it make sense, guys?
Yes.
Now, please, don't be one of those people that goes up to someone in another denomination and goes, you know, you're bad because you baptized your child when he was an infant and you're going to go to hell. That's ridiculous. Amen. You can get into a discussion, but do it with love. Because that's not going to win anybody if you're going to do the finger-pointing thing. Does it make sense, guys? Remember, they only know what they've been taught. I'm laying foundations because many of us have been taught wrong. So we need to look at the foundations. Let's get the foundations right before we move on. Does it make sense? Amen. All right, I'm almost done. I want to give you one or two more scriptures and then we'll close for this morning and we'll get into this. We're going to continue with this tonight. 1 Peter 3, verse 20. Who formerly were disobedient when once the divine longsuffering waited in the days of Noah. Remember the days of Noah and the ark? While the ark was being prepared, in which a few, that is, eight souls were saved through water. He's comparing water baptism to the ark. There is also an antitype which now saves us, baptism. Now watch, because this is important. You need to get this. Not the removal of filth of the flesh, but the answer of a good conscience. Everyone say good conscience. So we do it because it's the seal, but really we've already made the decision to follow Jesus. Does it make sense, guys? Through the resurrection of Jesus Christ. So why are we doing it? So that we can be baptized into his death and resurrection. The waters represent judgment. The ark represents Jesus. We're in him so we don't get judged. We get saved. Can you say amen? And Peter's trying to say, listen, you need to be baptized. Listen, guys, I cannot overemphasize how I feel as a pastor so responsible for not overemphasizing the importance of water baptism. Water baptism we do wrong today in the church. If you look at the early church, you will see it was a matter of hours and they were water baptized. But today we have to have a class and you've got to first do this and maybe in 6 weeks' time, and that's wrong. How can I say it's wrong? Because that's not how they did it.
Amen.
We're not doing it the way they did it. They would repent, they would give their lives to Jesus. And then they would get baptized. They would get baptized the same day. And guess what? That's not where it would end. They would also get filled with the Spirit on the same day. Almost every single time. And where we see that they maybe missed one of them, they make sure that all three are done. On the day of Pentecost, Peter gets up and he gives his sermon. And the people cry out and they say, what must we do? What must we do? Because they were cut to heart. The sermon touched their heart. The Holy Spirit was so present. I mean, like, so present. And the people are like, what do we do to be saved? What do we do? And he says, repent. Starts with repentance and let every one of you be baptized so that you can have the gift of the Holy Spirit, the promise of the Father. And they were all filled as well the same day. Can you say amen? I'll show you tonight as we go on with baptisms. I normally don't do this. I don't like to continue a series at night. But next week, we're starting with Pentecost, and I'm doing laying on of hands Sunday morning. Yeah. Laying hands. Hallelujah. When you understand how powerful it is, you'll understand. You'll also understand you don't let anyone lay hands on you. The truth is, guys, is water baptism is part of our journey. It's not the end. It's just the beginning, really. You'll see baptisms because we also need to talk about the baptism of the Spirit. There's one who comes after me who's greater than I, whose sandals I'm not worthy to bear. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. You can't take it out of the Bible. You can't take every experience in Acts where you see salvation, water baptism, and baptism of the Spirit. You see them have an experience, three experiences, salvation and baptism, and then they get filled with the Spirit. You see it one after the other in the Bible. And what about tongues? Well, what about tongues? Come tonight, you'll find out. Amen. Now, man, you just say the word tongues and people are like so upset. These signs will follow those who believe. They will cast out demons. They will lay hands on the sick and they will recover. They will speak with new tongues, guys. That's what the Bible says. Yes, there's been abuse. Of course there has. Unfortunately, man knows how to mess everything up, don't we? But there's also the real. Oh, and it's so powerful. It's so powerful to have the real, to have a relationship and walk with intimacy with God. He says to his disciples before he goes to heaven, he says, and wait until you are endued with power. But they've already got the Holy Spirit, everything, but they had to wait for another experience. We need to, as Christians, walk in everything he has for us. Can you say amen? I know this is basic. I know this is foundational, but it's so important for us to lay this foundation as a congregation. So let me close in prayer, and then we will continue on. Father, we thank you so much. Your word is so perfect. You've laid it out for us, Lord. It's a roadmap. Let's just follow it. Let's just do what your word says, Father. Let's not complicate it with man's things. Father, we want to do just what they did. We want to do what Peter and John and Paul did, Father. We want to do what Jesus did. With all of our hearts, we desire to follow you. And Father, I thank you. I thank you for baptisms. I thank you for water baptism. I thank you that this morning we're going to baptize so many people into Christ. So awesome. So wonderful. And we just give you all the glory and the praise for it, Father. I thank you for every precious soul that's here this morning and ask that you will bless them as they leave today. That you will strengthen and encourage them, and that your Spirit will be poured out over us that get baptized this morning. Bring us back safely tonight. For those that don't come, Father, just protect them in this week. And we give you all the glory and the honor and praise. We love you with all of our hearts. In Jesus' precious name, amen.
We hope you enjoyed today's teaching. For more teaching like this and other material, please visit our website at www.oceansunite.com.